This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009 and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago
Bullseye.
Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lewenthal. With me, as always, and shopping right now is Fred Pfeiffer. Fred, where are you shopping? What aisle are you in?
I'm at the Jewel. I'm pulling in right now to the Jewel on the way home from work to buy several goods for my wife, who's having her girlfriends over tonight. I'm doing the husbandly thing. Kind thing. She asked me to pick up some stuff, so let's bang out a cask while I'm shopping. I'm about ready to leave the car and enter the Jewel Osco filled with goods.
Well, I would like to make sure that you keep up with the point topics today, because I'd like you to ask the person that checks you out about their viewpoints, so we can get, you know, the real Chicago beat here on what people think about their Chicago Bulls.
Well,
and I think
Jewel,
I have the beats right now. Actually, I did that today at the GNC, and my clerk had some very discouraging comments to make about Derrick Rose.
Oh, here we go.
We got to start with here. We got to open this up with D. Rose. I'm sure everyone who listens to our show knows what he said. I mean, I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have the quote in front of me. Correct me if you think I'm misquoting him, Fred, but pretty much what Derrick Rose said was, I worry every night. I don't worry about missing games because I worry every night about the long term. And that includes, you know, that's my, you know, my son's graduation, and just pretty much life after the NBA. And him pretty much saying that he wants to be healthy after he's done playing, so he's taking nights off now so that he can be healthy when he's done with his career. Is that how you interpreted his comments, Greg?
Yeah, that's how I interpreted the comments. I hope that's not what he really meant to say. I think what he was trying to say is he's obviously concerned about his long-term health, which anybody should be.
I thought originally that that's what he meant, but then the next night they asked him to clarify, and he stood by his remark and says he doesn't give a damn what other people think, which made me think this guy has got the worst PR person in the league. I mean, he's getting massacred for what he said. And I get it, and especially when he came back out that second time and reiterated the point, I'm like, Derek, Charles Barkley said it best, and maybe I'll find the clip and post it up at the end of the show, but Charles railed on him and goes, look, I love Derrick Rose, but, you know, when I played, you know, I live in a giant mansion. I've got everything in the world I could ever want. I have fortunes that I never could have imagined, and that's from basketball. And the sacrifice that I made for that is the fact that, you know, I have a couple bad knees, and, you know, I'm sore in places that I wouldn't have been sore from before. But the fact is that you get that $100 million contract, you owe your team, you know, your health, and you owe them your body. This isn't, you know, you're not leaving. It's not like football where you could leave and be, like, you know, mentally handicapped when you're done or down the road. You know, you're talking about having, you know, bad legs or something like that. And, I mean, that's a possibility when you get injured a lot, but they're athletes. It's part of the game. And for him to stand by those comments really bother me. More so because I agree with you, Fred, that I don't think that that's what Derek meant. But I think that he's such an idiot that he didn't even realize why people are so upset.
Well, hold on a second. Just send Derek. I think it's obvious that's not what he meant. Because if he really meant it, then why the heck did he play last night? You know what I'm saying? If that's what he meant, then you should really sit out as many games as you possibly can, and it would have been understandable for him to sit out last night. What he said kind of contradicts what he does. So that's why I wasn't that upset about it. I wasn't all furious about it. I was kind of surprised with how many people, the reaction, you know, everybody just freaking out, like how I thought Noah put it pretty eloquently. I don't think anybody, well, all that really matters is do his teammates feel that he's not given the best or that he's not given enough to get back? And it's obviously they don't. So I don't think it's that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, he's not an eloquent speaker, and he doesn't always say what he's, you know, doesn't always put, you know, put it in the best way, which is what he's trying to say in the best light. And obviously, that was a. I understand why people would be upset. You know, if you're really a diehard Bulls fan, you really want him out there, and you know, the Bulls are paying him quite a bit of money. You know, so but in the grand scheme of things, in the bigger picture, I want him sitting out more games. I want him taking care of his health now. Because I think, in the grand scheme of things, it's more important that he's healthy in April. And I thought on the TNT broadcast, which you referred to, I can't remember which one of the guys said it, but, you know, they brought up a really good point. You know, all the guys on the Spurs sit out games, but they do it with the bigger picture of winning a title. You know, he should have kind of put that first as opposed to his long-term health. That's what he should have said. Do you agree?
Yes, but he had the chance to say it the next night, and that's my problem, is that he pretty much told the fans, I don't give an F what you think, as opposed to saying, hey, you know what, I think that I was misquoted, or not even misquoted, I think I may have misrepresented my feelings, and it, you know, just didn't come out right, this is what I meant. But that's not what he did, and that's why, that's what really drove it home for me. At first I was just kind of like, eh, Derek said something stupid again. But he seems to be doing that a lot more now, and he does seem to be, his attitude seems to be a little different. I don't know if he's as humble, and I think that he's got a little chip on his shoulder to the fans, but I hope that he feels a loyalty to the team. His play does do the talking, but, you know, I mean, then again, last night, you know, he misses a huge chunk of the fourth quarter. Now, we're up quite a bit, but we were up quite a bit when he went out.
Wait 1 second. Let me just jump in on something. The reason he's got a huge chip on his shoulder, and he's showing that side where he's thinking, I don't care what people think, is because I think that's a reaction to the considerable amount of people in the fan base who just seem to jump on whatever he says or whatever he does, who call him soft because he didn't play, you know, in the Nate Robinson year. He didn't come back for the playoffs, that he sat out the entire season. There's a pretty large contingent of fans who feel that way. And I think he just had it with that entire group, and he just, you know, basically says, I don't care what they think. And I understand him there. I do. I don't understand the large part of the fan base that just want to jump on everything Derrick Rose says, or, you know, get angry at every little thing. I mean, do you really think he wanted his knee to explode? Do you really think you know, that he's happy he's missed so many games? No, I don't believe that. And, you know, deep down, I kind of feel like he didn't come back. Probably wasn't comfortable. He probably didn't feel like he was 100%. And he probably didn't believe that the team could win a title, and I didn't either, you know? That year,
yes,
in the Nate Robinson year.
Yes, you did.
In 2013? No, I didn't.
You wanted him coming back. You wanted him back. And
I
you
did,
thought that
of
we had
course.
A chance of winning.
Of course.
You thought we had a chance. This was classic bullseye, Fred. There are many, many a show where I'm trying to talk you off the ledge because you think we're some incredible team that Derek should be coming back to play for, and I never did. I'll find those broadcasts.
No. The major points I made in the year with Nate Robinson is that season, that team, you made it to the playoffs and you managed to get past the Nets. Now you're in the second round. There's not going to be that many times or opportunities for you to win a title. Why not try and come back at that point and make the miracle? But I was very upset that they let Korver go that year. I felt that was a huge loss before the season and almost unforgivable when you consider that nobody at the time they let Korver go felt like that he wasn't coming back that year. So I was pretty upset about that. But that was my point the entire season, is at that point, Derek, why not come back against Miami? Because, you know, you were there. I mean, you're in the second round of the playoffs. Come back and let's see if we can make the miracle. And, you know, he chose not to. And I think he probably was a combination of he didn't feel great, and deep down he didn't believe they could win a title. I don't fault him for either, because I really felt, I mean, I might have said it back then, Mark, but did you really ever truly believe
no,
that the Bulls...
No, but you did. And the beautiful thing about this show, Fred, and that's why I'm not even going to argue with you, is that this is all on tape. This is all on tape. I can go back and find the clips, and I'm going to.
You better
every
find
show
them.
We did, every show we did after February of that year was you saying that Derek should come back now because you think we have a chance to win. That's all I'm saying. Hindsight's 2020, big guy. But at that time, our big point of contention was that I didn't think he should. I was fine with either way because I didn't think we were good enough. And even if we were good enough, which I didn't think we were, it didn't really matter because at the end of the day, it's early in his career. So whatever. I mean, you know, am I getting annoyed now with the frequency of injuries? How can't you? I mean, when he left yesterday, I realize it's not a big deal. It's just the hamstring. But it's like, good God, man. Like, you've already missed 2-3 games this year already, and now you're sitting at the fourth quarter of what was our biggest game of the season so far, a major statement game, which we won, thank God, by
a lot.
He
hurt himself, though. It's not like, why are you upset about it? He played great, I thought, for the most part.
Yeah, but why did
he didn't shoot it that well.
He turned over the ball a lot early. But you're right. He did play pretty good.
I thought he played great.
Why you pull your hand... I mean, I'm not going to... Look, you pull your hamstring. I mean, everything we say, that game against the Toronto Raptors doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. It doesn't. But they are becoming frequent, these injuries. Like, it's just like, and, you know, you could say he hasn't played in 2 years, but it's like, all right, I mean, we'll see what happens. But, you know, yesterday was really
a
down day.
Why are you upset at him about that? He has no control over that. That's not
well,
something you should be upset
not,
about.
But it's frustrating. It's
frustrating is
fans.
The correct word. Yeah, of course it's frustrating. I'm frustrated, too, but you shouldn't. I just don't understand the fan base that just is, like, angry at him about it. It's frustrating. He's frustrated. I'm frustrated. I still love the kid. I still want him to get, you know, better. I mean,
yes.
I hear people calling on the radio, like, saying he should quit. I actually heard that on the radio on the way home. I'm like, he should quit. Why?
He had 20 points and 5 assists yesterday. He shot 50%. I mean, like, he should quit?
No, there's so many people that are just haters. They just hate. They hate the guy because they... And they always throw up. I mean,
Bears fans.
You hear they're mouth breathing Bears Sox fans. You know, just hey, I go to work every day. Well, no one cares. No one cares. In the grand scheme of things, that's great. You go to work every day. His job. He's an athlete. His body is his job. It doesn't matter.
It's his greatest
if you're
tool.
Sore. What?
It's his greatest tool. His body is his tool.
Yeah. So It sucks. Like, I mean, you know, when he hurt, I thought it was a lot more serious than it appears to be yesterday. I mean, I thought he hurt his knee. It looked like to me that he kind of, like, hyperextended his knee. So I immediately was freaking out. I don't know what you feel about the injury. I heard it was a hamstring today. But, you know, I don't care if he sits out a month. Mark, I'm just so sick of everything being so focused on, you know, is he playing today? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is he's going to be healthy in April. Because the Bulls have more than enough talent to win from now until then to get a top.
Yeah, and I want to say this. I just want to say that, you know, his statistics right now, you know, you look at his statistics right now are much, much better than his statistics were last year. And for the brief period that he played last year. I mean, he's playing well. His stats, other than, if you know what, once he gets that field goal percentage up just a little bit, once he gets it up just a little bit, he's going to be right back to that MVP-level player, I mean, at least statistically. Right now, he's shooting 43%, but he's averaging 18 points a game. His MVP year, I'll change that. He was at 25 his MVP year, shooting 44. But he's taking a lot less shots. He's taking 6 less shots a game, and understandably so. But he's playing within the offense, which, you know, we had no offense his MVP season. But I think right now, he's, you know, he's a better three-point shooter than he was. At that point, he's certainly more comfortable in his three-point shot. He seems to be a better shooter. I mean, he's streaky with it. But I think that, you know, in time, his field goal percentage is going to get back to where it was before. And at that point, I anticipate that he's going to be an extremely effective player because right now he's playing, you know, he's playing without... He definitely, his MVP year, had a lot more of those wow moments just because of, you know, he was in a rhythm. But I certainly think you see now a bit of a smarter player. And, you know, he seems to be a better passer. He's still turnover prone, but I think he's going to get that down. I mean, he hasn't played basketball in a while. And just the way that he plays, how good he is, for how little he's played in the last 2 years does kind of amaze me. I mean, I figured that not playing, this really just comes second nature to this kid, because the fact that you haven't played competitive basketball in so damn long and you're this good, I mean, think about what he's going to be when he gets into a rhythm, but I hope that he's able to find that rhythm. And Fred, I don't want him sitting out months, or, I mean, look, sit out, rest your body, we need you in the playoffs. It's better to have you there than not have you at all, but this kid has to find a rhythm more than any other player on this team. And if he can ever sustain his health long enough to do that, he's going to be extremely scary, and this team is going to be extremely scary. Last night was the first time that I was like, all right. I mean, obviously we've looked good this year, but I've said it many, many times, is that I'm sick of us barely beating bad teams, and I'm sick of us consistently not playing four quality quarters and playing to the level of competition. I don't think we've earned that yet. We haven't earned that level of respect, where we should respect ourselves enough where we feel we can play the level of anyone, and I feel like they were doing that. And then last night, it was great to see them step up, especially how they just stomped on Toronto in the fourth quarter. And the thing that we're seeing this team do time and time again right now is stomp on teams in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's how they've won. I mean, a lot of games have been extremely close. You couldn't tell that by the scores. When you go back and look at these box scores, it doesn't seem like they were incredibly close, and that's because in the last 5 minutes, this team rocks and rolls, and it's behind our MVP. And I'm going to let you guess. Who do you think our MVP is right now?
Well, it's got to be Gasol right now. Gasol's been phenomenal. Phenomenal in every sense of the word, and it's everything I expected out of him. I am.
Is this what you expected, Fred?
Mark, do you recall every conversation we've had since they got him? Go back and listen to all the cash. Yeah,
no, I'm giving you credit for that. You did say that, but did you actually think that he'd be this good?
Absolutely. He was in a horrible situation, an absolute terrible situation on the Lakers, with a team with very little talent, built around Kobe Bryant, who, you know, obviously sucks now, and obviously missed last year due to injury, and he's, you know, Kobe's going to continue scoring and shooting at his, 38-39% pace. He was in a terrible situation with a coach who was a horrible fit for his skill set. It was fantastic. I knew he still had a ton of talent. He still was blocking shots for the Lakers. And I just felt like you bring him into a new situation, it'd be, you know, Kevin Garnett 2.0 with him going to the Celtics, and that's exactly what's happened. So I expected it, and I knew he was talented. I knew those skill sets that Gasol has, the post game, the passing, the shot blocking, you know, his shot blocking doesn't rely on athleticism. It relies on him sticking his hands up. All that stuff doesn't, you know, really leave with age. That's the last thing to go. If he was a player who was completely dependent on an athletic game, you know, like jumping and, you know, through the roof, and yeah, I'd be concerned, but it's not. The post game stays with you. I'm 41. I still have a fantastic post game. Did I lose you?
No. I'm listening to you.
Yeah. So I mean, I felt like he'd be a perfect fit for the Bulls. I'm still kind of shocked how they. I don't think they go to him enough. I think there's large portions of the game where I find him standing out at the 3-point line or at the top of the key, and I'm like, just go to Gasol every time down until they stop him, because, as I said many times, one of three things is going to happen, and they're all good. He's going to score, he's going to get fouled, he's going to draw a double team and pass it out. And those are all good things. So, I did expect him to be this good. The only thing I didn't expect is I didn't expect him to look as good as he has on defense in shot blocking. I mean, it's been phenomenal. He's top five in the league. I think the last time I looked, he's fifth. And I didn't expect him to play these many minutes. That's kind of a concern, too, because I think he will break down if you keep on playing at a 35-minute pace. What say you?
I would agree with that. The minutes of the team worry me in general. Once again, we have a player in the top three in minutes on this team, in Jimmy Butler, in the top three of the NBA, averaging 40 minutes a game, 39.6. He's just a shade behind LeBron James right now. You know, at this point of the season, especially when we're winning so much, that does worry me a little bit, because I do think you have flexibility at the two-guard position with Kirk Heinrich, who's only playing 25 minutes a game. Now, Heinrich's injury-prone, too. We've lost a little bit of flexibility because McDermott hasn't really stepped up so far, and neither is Mirotić, so neither of them are barely playing. Both only played about 5 minutes
last night. But that's part of the problem is the reason they're not stepping up is they have no confidence, and that's his fault. You know, I understand they came in yesterday and it's horrible. you got to expect it's going to happen with rookies sometimes. They're not always going to look phenomenal. You got to let them play.
Yeah, but they haven't really looked phenomenal at all.
That's not true.
Mirotić has not looked good. He's looked like a good shooter, but he does not look like much more than a shooter at the moment.
McDermott, before last night, was something like, I think, 9 of his last 13 shooting, Mark. He was over 50% from the field, and he didn't play. I mean, basically over 4 games. He was shooting, like I said, 9 of 12. He had a period there over 3 games where he was 9 of 12 shooting, and he hardly saw the floor. So I agree, Mirotić just hasn't looked that great, but who cares? Play him. I mean, who cares? You know,
yeah,
so what?
I mean, I agree, because at this point, you know, you're risking the fact that somebody like Butler could wear down. And look at Dang, man. Dang, whenever we get to the playoffs, he wasn't good. I mean, do I think that it's because he wore down or because he's just soft? Well, I think it could be a combination of both. I don't think that you just automatically hit April and all of a sudden wear down. But if he could wear down...
Look what Dang's playing in Miami. He's playing 31 minutes a game, and he looks phenomenal. Right? He has in the games I've seen. I know he had 30 points the other night.
I think that he looks like the same player as he was with us. But you're right. He's only playing 31 minutes a game. He must love it.
Yeah,
but these are athletes. Is there a huge difference between 30 and 40 minutes? So I guess it's 25% more runs.
Yeah, it's significant. Over the course of a year, we're close to 82 games. I mean, it's basically playing, you know, 8 to 10 more games a year. Even more than that. I haven't done the math on it yet, but I did at one time. And I know it's like almost another, you know, hold on a second. You keep talking.
So I want to go back here. Hopefully you're listening to me so you can comment on it. I want to revert back here to what you were talking about Gasol. Pau Gasol so far has just been an absolute stud on this team. And he really is the heart and soul of what we're doing. And I never thought... I mean, this player right now I think is looking every bit as good as he has in every other period of his career. Even through the highs of highs, he's averaging almost 20 points a game. He's averaging 11 rebounds. But when we amnestied Boozer and kept Gasol, or signed Gasol, you might remember me thinking maybe we're a little bit too deep up front, maybe we should have spent the money a little bit differently. I never questioned Pau Gasol as a player. I've always liked him as a player, but I did question how much of an upgrade he was over Boozer. I knew he was an upgrade, but is he an upgrade that was worth paying all of Boozer's money and then getting him on top of that? I questioned that. But the level of impact that Pau Gasol has on this team is tremendous. And
Sid said it, Mark. Everybody go get the paper and see Sid's quote on Gasol after the game last night versus Toronto. And he basically said in every facet of the game, not just, you know, performance out on the court, but leadership at practice, how hard he's practiced. He's setting the example. I remember I saw a note from Noah where he was watching Gasol on the plane watch the Toronto game. I don't know if you saw that quote. And Noah jokingly said, heck no, I'm not watching that. You know, like, it was pretty funny. That's how Noah is, right? But the guy's just a true professional. And that's why, you know, I think it wasn't just the skill set that was so important for the Bulls adding him. It's all the intangibles that he brings. It's the ability to help Mirotić and ease his transition. The guy's done it. He's been great, you know. But again, I there is a concern. Tibbs just has a new toy and he's going to break it. You know, I mean, he's got to cut back on the minutes. I want Gasol playing between 25 and 30 a night, not 35. I know everybody's probably saying, "Oh, come on, it's 5 minutes a game." Yeah, it does add up, and you know, anytime you're
for
on the 30, court,
30 or 4-year-old, it sure does. For 34-year-old, it sure does. And
yeah.
I think with the flexibility that you have with Taj Gibson, I don't see why he needs to play that much, especially now that Noah's back. And, you know, I was okay with it for the few days that Noah was out. I was like, whatever, hopefully it fixes itself, but it doesn't seem to be. I hope he doesn't wear down. But, I mean, beyond my concern of him wearing down, I've got the level... Because I was looking at this team today, and I'm asking myself, you know, especially with McDermott not playing great so far, and especially, you know, Mirotić not being great so far. Last night off the bench, we only had two players that played over 10 minutes, and that was Brooks and Heinrich. That was it. So, I'm sorry, it was Taj Gibson and Heinrich. I didn't see. I would have thought Brooks would have too, but I don't think he did. I was at a bar last night, so I couldn't see the game as well as I normally do on TV.
I think Brooks hardly played last night.
Yeah, and so, like, To me, you know, the team's not that deep. It's definitely not that much deeper than it was last year. Right now, you know, you do have Rose back, and that's a big difference. But let's just be honest here. Rose didn't play two games, and he didn't play part of that. When we went nuts in the fourth quarter at the end, and we really stomped on them at the way end, you know, Rose wasn't in for parts of that. He was in the third when we trounced him in the third, outscoring him 35-14, which really gave us, you know, a nice cushion. But, you know, at the way end of the game, you know, Casal was keeping the fourth down. And, you know, the level of this team being this good compared to the team that we had last year, I think is a direct reflection of really Pau Gasol. I mean, Rose back is a very nice thing, but we weren't this good last year at the beginning of the season when Derrick Rose was playing with us. And, you know, I'm sure if Rose is on this team last year, this team would not have only have lost two games. I mean, it's just same team with Boozer. We would not have only have lost two games at this point of the year. I mean, Gasol is the difference.
Yeah, you know what's so exciting? It's not just Gasol, though. I mean, to me what's so exciting is you hardly saw us at full strength. I think yesterday was only the second time all year where all five guys have been in the lineup with Butler, Gasol, Noah, you know, Rose, and who am I missing? Butler, Gasol, Dunleavy. You saw all the guys together, and, you know, for the second game, and there were some points, especially that third quarter. That third quarter was the best, I said, I've seen the Bulls team perform, arguably, since the Jordan era. I mean, they were so good in that third quarter yesterday. So the team is starting, you could see, you know, elements of it starting to gel, starting to work together, starting to come together. I want that to happen in March, in February. That's why, like, right now, I don't care if guys are missing. In fact, I think it makes us better in the long run. Because guys, you got to throw guys like McDermott into the fire. And you got to throw guys like Mirotić into the fire and throw Brooks out there. By playing these games now and playing extended minutes now, it's going to make them better when we come playoff time. And we'll be a better team because of that. You know, I heard Zach Lowe talk about it recently on the BS report, and he mentioned that the Spurs, there was a game where they were, you know, basically had no one playing, and Danny Green and all these guys that weren't getting major minutes at the time all played major minutes, and those kind of games in the long run made the Spurs better because it built their confidence. It got them, you know, comfortable with playing out on the court. They were able to get these guys some time out there and build their confidence and learn to become better basketball players. That only really happens when you're out on the NBA court. We all seen the talent that McDermott has. We've all seen the talent that Mirotić has. They sucked yesterday. No denying it. They looked awful. But they only sucked for 5 minutes. I mean, who knows? Are we ever going to give them a chance to try to make it up or come around? We're just going to judge them on 5 minutes? I mean, for God's sakes, I've seen freaking Heinrich suck for entire 4 or 5 games. Heinrich's shooting 25% since his epic Cleveland game. He still gets major minutes, and the guy brings absolutely nothing out there. You know, I mean,
I'm okay with it's the ninth game of the season. If we're still saying this in January, I'll have an issue. I am okay with Thibodeau building a fire. It's worked. I mean, I think so far we've seen that Thibodeau's rookies get much better as the season goes on, and they're big contributors by the playoffs. You know, I don't think you want them to get down on themselves. But also, you're right, they got to play, but I think that this kind of builds a fire in them to kind of earn their minutes.
I don't think it does. I don't think it does, Mark. I think what Thibodeau's doing now is just destroying their confidence. He's never been – rookies have never really flourished under this guy. You know, Omer is the only guy I could think of, and it took him quite a while, too.
Butler was contributing by the playoffs his first year.
No, he wasn't. Butler averaged 8 minutes a game, Mark, in his rookie year. He hardly played, and he showed signs. I mean, he had a game against, I remember vividly, against New York where he played phenomenal, but he never played. He still had, in his rookie year, freaking Dank still led the league in minutes, actually led the league in minutes. And you had other answers there in Korver and Brewer at the three, and he still forced Dang in there. You know, so he's proven time and time again. He'll play his favorites and he'll burn them out. And, you know, I was fine, I guess. I was never really fine with it when the team, I tweeted this the other day. You might get away with saying, making that argument about, you know, Jimmer. But you can't make that argument about McDermott. You can't make that to say I have no talent to back these guys up. It's not true. You know, so I don't know if you agree with me.
You know, I just want to see how it plays out. I mean, I certainly think that if very soon we don't see their minutes start to increase, I'm going to agree with you 100%. I mean, McDermott seems to be a worker. So if he's a worker, I don't feel like that he's somebody who's going to take advantage of the fact that he's getting major minutes. I'd like to see them play more. I'd like to see us use our bench more. Our front court, our starting lineup, Gasol is old, and you've got a bunch of players that have had injuries in their past. So, you know, whether it's because of Thibodeau or not is debatable, but I can certainly say that moving forward, what happens from this point forward is a result of Thibodeau's, the minutes that he gives them. And I would hate to see any one of these guys not in top form by the playoffs, because it is clear that we have something very special here. And if we don't get the opportunity to see that in the playoffs this year, it's going to be really sad. If there's anybody injured on this team in the playoffs, it's going to be really sad. I mean, I do think that this team is, it's a team in the truest sense, and most teams have a little flexibility in maybe some injuries, but I think that, you know, pretty much if any of these major, you know, Butler goes down, if Gasol, God forbid, went down, obviously Rose, you know, you have a handful of guys, Noah, Taj even, where if any of these guys went down for any period of time, it would dramatically change this team.
Yeah, there's so many things I like about this team. I mean, one of the things I mentioned yesterday on Twitter is they have three guys what I consider to be plus post games. Gasol has got a top five NBA post game. I think Taj has developed that. I think he's got net, it's not a top five, but it's an above average post game. And now Jimmy Butler in the post is really showing me a lot. And I think he's got an above average post game, especially when you get, if you're comparing him to other shooting guards. And I love it when they throw one of those three into the post and make something happen down there. There's just so many things about this team that I think are fantastic. The only thing that could really, to me, derail our, I'm a firm believer that this team should be the favorite to win in the East, and then we'll see what happens in the finals. But the only thing that I think that would derail that and make it impossible to happen is an injury to either Rose or Butler. I think if both of those two guys
or Gasol, or Noah,
you still have Taj and you still have Noah. Like, so, you know, I don't think it's impossible that the team couldn't get out with an injury to one of those three guys. So would you agree with that? So let's say, God forbid,
maybe,
Noah.
Maybe from the East. I think maybe you might need him against a team like Cleveland. When Cleveland starts to gel, they've got a lot of talent, and you're going to need a guy like Gasol who can score in the post the way that he does. But you're right. I mean, look, unless you're missing the Eastern Conference Finals, you're probably right that we could not have Gasol in any team. But we could also have
Noah or Taj. Because then you also consider you have Mirotić, who would hopefully get some minutes and potentially back them up as a stretch four. Thank you. You know, I mean, that's what I think. That's the one position they're so deep that they could afford an injury. I don't think you can afford an injury to Butler. He's their perimeter, by far their best perimeter defender, and I don't think they get by. I know they wouldn't get by Cleveland if Jimmy went down.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's the one guy who I think is irreplaceable, and obviously Rose, too, just because I have zero faith in Heinrich. And I mean, even if, I call me crazy, maybe even an injury to Butler, at least Brooks could kind of come in and bring something. You know, defensively, Butler is just so important. I mean, we have nothing to compare to him. Thank you. Nothing to compare to him, you know, really, as a defensive perimeter defender, nobody comes close to Jimmy Butler on this team.
If Butler keeps up what he's doing, it is a damn shame that we did not lock him up this summer, because could he potentially be a max player?
I think
if
so.
If he continues with these stats, there's a damn good chance. I mean, he's shooting 52% right now, and he's shooting 40% from three.
I can guarantee 20, it, Mark. I can
20 points a game.
I mean, the guy's stats are phenomenal. Not only that, he's one of the best five defenders, I think, perimeter defenders in the NBA. And I think he's perimeter. And I think his game has developed so much in the offensive end, there's no doubt if he keeps it up at this level, he'll get a max contract from somebody. I mean, that's one thing. A lot of guys have a lot of money in your cap space. And, you know, they'll be willing to throw it at Jimmy Butler. So,
but I don't know, though, if any other team would work as well. I mean, part of what makes Jimmy Butler so effective is the fact that in our offense, he's only taking 12 shots a night. He's playing 40 minutes a game and only taking 12 shots a night. He's shooting 53%, which shows that he's picking his spots. I think last year what you saw is when there's more pressure on Jimmy Butler, when he has to be a bigger part of the offense. So actually, he's taking more shots per game this year than he did last year. last year he only took 10 shots a game and he averaged 39% off 10 shots a game, but they were definitely more defended shots. I mean, you were a much bigger football
player
of our offense.
People forget, the guy had a leg injury to start out last year. I think it affected his shot. He played an absurd amount of minutes. You know, and so you expect him to give like 130% on the defensive end, and you know, it's going to affect how good you shoot percentage-wise. I don't think he's got to put in that as much this year, and I think he's healthier. So, of course, it's going to go up. Yeah, I love Jimmy Butler. I think the kid is such a good kid. He seems like such a good kid, hard-working kid. You can see he's improved his game every year. I really hope he's with the Bulls for a long time to come. And I do feel his perimeter defense is something that we don't have anybody to step up. You know, if it was a few years ago and we had, you know, Ronnie Brewer, a younger version of Ronnie Brewer, who I love defensively, and Lou Alden, yeah, you can afford injuries to Butler. You can't do that now. So
yeah,
but
you're right. And how well he stepped into Lou Alden's role. Right now, Jimmy Butler's better than Deng ever was.
I agree.
Way better. Way better.
I agree.
Because he gets to the line seven times. He gets to the line seven times a game, and he's
that's one thing Bulls fans never really, you know, understood. A large swath of them never understood, you know, and you see it in the love for Heinrich. Heinrich never gets to the line. I remember in 08, he went like a month with playing 40 minutes a game, and he had like a total of like 14 free throw attempts in 08. And everybody, oh, he's great. That was the year he sucked, though, it was 08. But, I mean, you know, Gordon at least was a guy who was able to get to the line. Nobody understood or respected that. There's a huge advantage to putting the other team in foul trouble, picking up fouls. That's what Gasol does great, and that's what Jimmy Butler does well. And so does Derek now. You know, he picks up, you know, that was an issue early on in his career, but I think he's improved quite a bit there. Put the defense on, you know, defense, right? I mean, it makes him, when you put those guys into foul trouble, it's a huge advantage. You get the bonus earlier, get you free shots. I mean, it's a big deal. And it's not something that we respect enough or understand enough.
I think that it's a huge part of why we're so successful right now. I mean, a couple of things. I mean, three-point attempts last year, we were 24th in the league. This year, we're third in the league. Three-point percentage. We're obviously shooting the rack a lot better, but you're right, free-throw attempts. Number one in the league right now is Sacramento, who, ironically, is all of a sudden winning. I bet you if you look last year, Sacramento was not number one in the league in free throw attempts. We're averaging 27 attempts a game. We're seventh. And if you look at the bottom 10 in the league in terms of free throw attempts, New York, Boston, Milwaukee, Indiana, Orlando, you know, that's the bottom five. They
are you aware, Mark, that Sacramento finishes with the 11th pick or higher, we get that pick? Were you aware of that?
I was not aware.
So it's top 10 protected. Got that pick in the Lualdang trade. If Sacramento finishes 11th this year, we get the 11th pick.
Oh, we're getting it for sure.
That's a huge, well, not necessarily. They're in the West. I mean, they just blew two huge leads. I mean, you see the lead they blew the other night against, I can't remember.
Oh, boy.
It was Phoenix or L.A., I can't remember who, or the Clippers, and then they lost to Memphis yesterday, which was just inexcusable for the lead to head again. So, they very well could have a top, you know, the bottom 10 record, right? But that's just to me, if they can somehow get 11 or 12 at Sacramento, we get that pick. Pax doesn't get enough credit. These guys have done a great job finding talent and surrounding the team. Another thing I wanted to mention, too, was there's a fantastic special on HBO called The Offseason, about Durant. And in that, they actually have him, they have the camera on him when it's announced on the TV that Gasol has decided to sign with Chicago. I was unaware that Durant was a huge part of recruiting Gasol. He had devoted a lot of his time to recruiting Gasol, and that was a guy that he really wanted. And he was devastated when they didn't get him. And, you know, his reasons he gave afterwards were, you know, about the city, you know, kind of that Gasol wants, you know, culture, in other words, you know, plays, he wants to see plays and stuff like that. But that was really interesting. And, you know, Bulls got hammered. They can't recruit. Well, they got Gasol. And that's a pretty good pickup. I think that was clearly the second best pickup. And you can maybe make an argument that I think he fits in better with this team than Nella would have.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, I think Durant might be right about the culture thing, because they had an article in the Tribune yesterday about all the places that Pau Gasol's been spotted at in the last week. So, like, every night he's being spotted at some, like, swanky dinner place. Like, he goes to, like, every single restaurant in the city. Like, all the expensive restaurants. Not even just the expensive ones, but, like, but he's seen. The one thing that struck out to me, though, is that the five sightings that they had this week, each day he was with a different player from the team. He was with Taj Gibson one night. I think one night he was with Noah. He was with a variety of different players every single night. And, I mean, it just goes to show, this guy is a teammate, man. And, I mean, this guy is bringing this team together. And I am sure that this team has his back, you know, as much, if not more, than anyone else. I mean, you just see the respect that he gains.
I did hear that.
I didn't know he was this good. I didn't know he was this good. I mean, I knew he was really, really good, but I didn't know that he was this good. I mean, the effect that he has on winning and on a winning culture, you can't put money on. You can't. That's something that's tough to quantify. And
that's
you look
right.
At other teams. Look, you see Kevin Garnett in this at this stage of his career. You know, he's a little older than Gasol now, but Garnett's been on this. By the time that Garnett was 34, he was not close to this sort of a. He didn't have this kind of an effect on a team. I think he was a big part of the toughness in Boston that made them so successful for so long. But I also think that a big part of that was they were in the East.
Another big part of that was Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. You know, this is the same Bulls team basically that's been for the last few years. He's like the one piece that's come along, and I don't know. I just think we've gone from pretenders to me the favorite. You know, to win it in the East, it's like night and day. And you brought up a great point about he's going out with every different player. I read that too. He took out Taj. Dude, what a class act! What a good teammate, and that kind of stuff. People forget the Lakers. Kobe wanted out of L.A. until they got Gasol, and they went 2 titles. You know, that says enough. He barely was a first round playoff loss every year, or they weren't even making the playoffs. So, hey man, I got
to
run.
That getting him was the piece that sent them to the finals. I mean, that was it. You're winning titles all of a sudden once you get Pau Gasol. They had a nice team, but he was the big difference. And you're right. I don't think he gets enough credit for that. I think it was like finally Kobe has help. But how about the fact that finally you have just an unbelievable player in his prime? I mean, he's never really been on, you know, he had the opportunity in Memphis, right? Because he got kind of swatted under the rug. And then when you're in Kobe Bryant's shadow, you're in Kobe Bryant's shadow. So
yeah,
I do think
yeah.
This is an opportunity where you could finally get that spotlight on you that
they won 50 games a year every year with him in Memphis, and they had nothing but him. Hey, guys. All right, man, I got to go.
All right, Bulls fans, it's been fun. Fred, as always, it's been fun. Until next time, if it ain't Bulls.
Ain't basketball. Take it easy, brother.
All right, Fred. All right,
bye.
Peace.
90, 190, 390, 396, 98. And that white, we at home, and that red, we away. Got my jersey, my Jordans, I'm ready to play. I bring the horns in, representing for the city I was born in. From the go, so you know that we be going in. Swear to God that I think we about to score again. And we got that ring, we got that file, and we got that break. They got that style, but we got that stay. So we shut that down, cause we got that date. Never let my city down, man, I put that on red cup. Every dunk should make the cover of a magazine. Feeling flyer than Benny on a trampoline.
Only the Bulls. Only the Bulls. Only the one and only Chicago Bulls. Only the Bulls. Only the one and only Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls.
I've been a hard zip.